The stage is yours.
Thank you very much, Martin. So, as Martin told already to you, I'm Andrea, and I'm a software engineer at Genesio. We are trying to build a cloud platform for web applications, so our users should build web and mobile applications and deploy them to us. Just before starting, I want to set some expectations. So first of all, this talk is going to be a talk of the challenges and solutions we've come up with by running real node applications on unikernels. And secondly, I really hope that this presentation will spark some discussions. I know that the unikernel community is active and creative, and me and my colleagues are going to be around after the presentation for us to speak if you have use cases, questions, challenges that you've tackled and you want to chat with us about them. So let's get down to business. Okay, so before starting to build a platform, we really needed to put down some guidelines and the vision that we want to implement with that platform. So is the sound okay? Because it sounds weird to me. Okay, thanks. So back to vision. So first of all, we really want to optimize resources like power consumption, memory, CPU, and costs for our users. Secondly, we don't want to throw away response time for that optimization that we did. So we want to have a snappy response for our clients. So response time is very, very important to us. And lastly, we want an easy to use, secure, and auto-scaling platform. That means that we want to take the burden from the developer to where I deploy this application, how should I deploy it, how should I scale it, and stuff like this. This is the job of the cloud platform, and we want to provide that to the end user. So, to tick all the boxes, we decided to try unikernels in a function as a service environment. Function as a service essentially means that when we have an incoming request, we spawn a VM that will be bounded in time, so it will live for a few moments, for a few minutes, sorry. It will handle that request and send back the response. And we are doing this in a with the unikernel. So essentially we have our orchestrator down here, and then for the request, we are spawning a firecracker with OSV, that is the unikernel that we are using, with Node.js, and at the top level, we have the user application. But still, this has some challenges, unique set of challenges than the classic Linux container and classic long-living server. So our challenges are reducing the call starts, because we are spawning up many VMs. Essentially, every few minutes, we are spawning new VMs if we have incoming requests. We have to somehow reduce the boot time for these VMs. So we have to boot it very quickly or give it a try to another mechanism to improve this call start. Secondly, because we are a multi-tenant platform, we want to somehow be able to upgrade the unikernel or do patch. A patch is it at the unikernel level without really iterating through each image for each of our users and redeploy everything. And lastly, of course, we want security and we want process isolation. That means we don't want application one to be able to access resource from application two. So we've tackled, first of all, the cold start, which is a big problem in the function as a service world. So to tackle that, we leverage snapshots, as everybody does probably. And we did snapshots as following. We are booting up the unikernel. We are starting the Node.js process. And immediately after we start the Node.js process, we pause. And at that moment, we are creating a snapshot and store it for later. When we want to spawn a new VM, what we do essentially is we start the firecracker, which helps us load the snapshot, and then we are attaching a new disk with the user code, we are mounting it, and we are importing it into the node code that was already started in the snapshot. This will help us with the second challenge that we have, the upgrading the unikernel, and you'll see in a moment how. To optimize even further, what we are doing is that we are not really waiting for requests to come and to then start the firecracker, load the snapshot, and so on. We have already a pool of warmed VMs that are started, but not, they are not scheduled on the CPU. They are just loaded in the memory. And when we have an incoming request, we just take such one VM from the pool, we attach the user code, we handle it, and then we give back the response to the client. Going back to upgrading the unikernel image. So as I told you, we are a multi-tenant platform. So we expect to have thousands of user applications that are running on our platform. So somehow we don't want to embed the user code into the unikernel image, because if we do that, we will have to rebuild each image of each of our user once we do a unikernel upgrade or a patch or a bug fix. So what we are doing is that we are creating a single snapshot with the unikernel and with the node runtime. And as I already told you, we are attaching the user code later. So essentially, when we are doing an upgrade, we just have to upgrade that base image, and each VM that it spawned afterwards, it will reference to that base image. So this is how why we are mounting user code afterwards, and this is how we can enable OSV and unikernel upgrade without really redeploying everything on our platform. And lastly, we are doing security and isolation using Firecracker Jailer. This helps us running each process sandbox. Firecracker Jailer allows us to have different network namespaces in such a way that we are not using the same network interface with each process. We have different file systems and different process namespaces. And also, Jailer allows us to limit resources to make sure that we have some kind of fairness between VMs, because we don't really want one single VM to eat up the whole CPU or the whole I/O bandwidth. So we can control the I/O throughput and CPU time for each VM. Because we are running things with real-world stuff, we also find out some bugs. Especially in the first one is in the Node.js V8 compiler. It used the popf instructions incorrectly, and in the privilege mode, which is the single mode in unikernel, it enables interrupts, and we cannot run any node code. Essentially, all node code was affected by this bug. And also, we fixed some bugs in OSV, and we made some contribution upstream. Those are related to using two file systems, because we need the first file system for the unikernel, and the second one is the user code that we are attaching later. And also, we found out some not POSIX compliant functions in pthreads library. Okay, now let's talk about metrics. So as I told you, the most important thing for us is the request response time, because we want to make sure that the end user of our clients are getting their request as fast as possible, so they have a snappy feeling when they're using the applications. So we actually benchmark that to see if using a unikernel versus a Linux container is as fast, if there is a difference or if there is an improvement. So first of all, we did a bit of setup. We are using a client, so essentially the browser, let's say. The client is in Azure, and then we are comparing with the standard function as a service solution from AWS, and also we have our servers that are running on the Genesio infrastructure. So these are the three actors. We are comparing AWS Lambda with OSV, which is a unikernel solution, and with a classic Linux container to have a full comparison, to have a full picture of the problem. This is the code that we are running. Essentially, it's a hello world code. It's more of a ping. We are just sending a request, and we are getting back a hello world string. And these are the actual numbers. So for a cold core means that there is no VM pre-warmed for us. So at the moment when we are handling the request, we also have to wait for the boot time. And in orange, we have Lambda that was getting us the request back in 300 milliseconds. And in purple, we have the OSV. And in blue, we have the Linux container that are performing like 60 milliseconds. And then we also have the warm call, which is for the Lambda is around 60 milliseconds, and for OSV and Linux is around 30 milliseconds. So as we can see, first of all, is that the OSV and Linux are mostly performing the same. And the first question that comes into mind is, why use a unikernel and why bother with it if the Linux container is just as good? But what we cannot see on this graph is the Linux kernel footprint. So the Linux kernel takes up much more space in storage when we are creating the snapshot, much more space in memory when we are using the pre-warmed pool VMs and so on. So the reason we can use unikernels is that we are optimizing resources, even memory and storage and so on. Next steps for us, first of all, is to integrate many more kernels. So for now, we are just using OSV because it was the mature project at the point that we started, but we want to use many more unikernels that are just developing in the community. And then we also want to add more support for more programming languages. We just went full on for Node.js because it was very popular, but we also want to add more support in a way that every web programmer can deploy its backend code on unikernels. As a last call, I want to stay in touch with the people that are interested in this kind of project. I think that this community of unikernels is very active and is flourishing from the contributions that we are all making. That's all.
Okay, again, time for questions. Yeah, I'll be there.